preaching. The only thing that says that I can do that is the word of God. The only thing that says that I can do that. I was praying this morning. I prayed these verses over to God, so I'll just go over them. Romans 12, verse 2. I thought of the word renew. I want to be renewed on a day-by-day basis. I'll get to the middle of my day and be so depressed and so full of sin and desiring sin and hating God and ashamed of God. I'll have my Bible out at work and someone will make a comment about it. And I'll be so embarrassed of God and of Jesus Christ. I want to put it all away. But I do believe that you can be renewed. I believe that God can do that day by day. And I was thinking about it this morning in prayer. That's probably the only way to survive as a Christian is to be renewed day by day.
It's good.
Romans 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I know that I'm a very young Christian, and it's hard for me to look for God at all. It's hard for me to desire God at all. And I'll get up in the morning and I'll read my Bible and I'll pray and I'll meet with God. And I'll just beg God that He will meet with me again at lunch when I read my Bible, because I'll start to despise Him by the end of the day. I'll start to just not want God, and I'll just beg God, would you renew me? Would you help me today? Because I struggle even to make it at all. But I believe the word of God when it says here that the inward man is renewed day by day. And what God gave me, He can renew day by day.
That's right.
See, in my life, I would get motivation. You get a little motivation to do something. And the further you get away from that moment of motivation, the further you get away from that time where you actually thought, man, now I'm going to do something the right way.
Right.
It would slowly fall apart.
That's right.
But the inward man is something completely different. The inward man is a gift from God.
Amen.
God gave me the inward man that it could be renewed day by day, and that I could meet with God and I could talk to God. I want to love God.
Man.
I want to love God.
Amen.
Ephesians 4, verse 23. I'm going to read some verses here because I don't even know how to renew the inward man day by day. I just beg God. I don't know the kind of mechanics or anything. I just beg God this morning that He would renew me.
Amen.
That He would help me this morning. And I read some verses around this and I saw that God tells you a lot of things to get rid of and to walk away from. And maybe that's part of it. Ephesians 4, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I love bitterness in my own life. I love to go back to bitterness. I enjoy bitterness. It makes me feel like I have some kind of self-worth. I'll hold on to bitterness. Man, you can make me so bitter so easily. I'll be at work, and I haven't thought about God in a while, and someone will say something stupid to me, like, I'll say something about her because I'm open about courting her, and it'll make me just It'll make me not want anything God has for me. I would like to throw it all away and just get rid of it. Everything God's given me, these promises of God, I'll just stop believing them in an instant. Colossians 3:10. We're going to start at the beginning of the chapter because it's very similar to what we just read. That same idea of what you put away, get rid of. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Amen.
God killed me the day I got saved. God killed me. I remember I would always hold on to some kind of life and hold on to some kind of... I could figure it out. Michael talks about that in his testimony, that hope. You have the hope in yourself. And it was partly that. And man, I just wasn't going to give up. I wasn't going to give up my way. There was always some way I would figure it out. I was always the kid in church who kind of took it seriously. I would go to the altar and... Yeah, I remember one time you saying, why is Timmy Asquith the only one on the altar? And I clung to that. Like, look, I have something special. I was on the altar, but man, I just hated God. And I loved my own sin. I didn't want to do anything for God. Didn't want to love God. But the day I got saved, God killed me. I was at the end of my life. I was 25 and had no more strength to continue. I broke, openly just wept and sobbed. And had no hope. There was no way to get to God. There was no faith I could bring to God that He would accept. There was nothing I could conjure up. I've talked to Megan about this, and she was talking about practicing belief right after getting saved. Do I believe that now? Because I would go in the Bible and think, I believe that. It says if you believe that He is the Christ, you're saved. And I would say, man, no, I believe. But in my heart, I did not believe that, and I could not make myself believe that. I could not.
That's right.
But I remember when I died, man, and God saved me, and suddenly I just believed it, and it was just all over, and it was all different. Colossians 3, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. Amen. Uncleanness. Amen. Inordinate affection. Amen. Evil concupiscence. Amen. And covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Man.
I want knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what will help people, to have knowledge of Jesus Christ. You're not going to figure it out. You're not going to figure this life out. You're not going to have some kind of logical epiphany where it clicked in your mind. There's no epiphany in this. It's knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Titus 3. Similar vein, similar thought. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. For me it was not sometimes, it was all the time.
That's right.
Disobedient,
yes, sir.
Deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice. I lived in malice. I couldn't do anything about it, but I lived in malice. I would like to do something about it. Living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another.
That's right.
But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. That is what changed everything.
That's right.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's the work that the Holy Ghost will do. The Holy Ghost does that work. Maybe that's why we figured out this morning, because the Holy Ghost does that work. He renews it.
That's right.
Thank God for that.
It's good. Amen. Thank you for your honesty. Amen.
Have your Bible, go to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 14.
Right.
And I thank God for the testimony that he has. There's some of you sitting in here that people prayed for you for a long time.
Amen.
You've been born of God.
Hallelujah.
And there's some people sitting in here, people are still praying for you, and you're not saved. They pray for you every day.
Right.
We long for the day to see you be able to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubt.
Amen.
Be able to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in spirit and in truth. I might bounce around a little bit, but I want to look here in the book of Ezekiel. I don't really have an outline. I almost never have ever had one. Ezekiel 14, verse 3. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of all at by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I the Lord will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. The house of Israel divided from the house of Judah when Jeroboam divided from Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. He set a precedent in the house of Israel, and he took a golden calf in Samaria, and he said, this is the God that delivered you out of Egypt. And they bowed down themselves and they worshiped that God. And he set a precedent that the house of Israel from that time until they were taken by the Assyrians into captivity, they worshiped false gods and worshiped idols. You know what's amazing to me is that Israel was taken by the Assyrians into captivity, and the house of Judah got to watch it. And yet they did the same thing.
That's right.
Isn't it amazing that how oftentimes we can watch people live a life of ungodliness and sin, and we go in the same direction?
Yes, sir.
When we see the misery and the woe of their life, will go in the same direction and do the same things that those people did. And I've said it here before, I have people in my family that have ruined their lives because of dope and because of drink. Yet I have close relatives, cousins, brothers, and things like that have headed off in the same direction. They thought that it'd be a good idea and that they would never get entangled in the same thing and that they would be just fine. But their lives are a misery and a woe to them. It's sad. But that's the same thing that Judah did. They got to watch Israel, the house of Israel, and they followed in the same footsteps. He said to the house of Israel that they'd set up idols in their heart. He didn't say they went up on the high places. He said they set these idols up.
That's right.
In their heart.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something. The Bible tells us in the book of Exodus 20 that God himself is a jealous God.
That's right.
He's a jealous God. And when you come to him, he don't want you to come to him half-hearted. He wants everything or he wants nothing.
Right.
He wants everything or he wants nothing at all. And that's the God of the Bible.
That's
He's a jealous God. And he don't want you to come with your sin. There's people that say it all the time, that you can come as you are and you can come to this church as you are, but You're not going to come to Jesus just any old way.
That's right.
You're not going to come to him any old way. He said in the scriptures, come unto me all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Who can come to him? The weary and heavy laden.
That's right.
The man heavy laden in his sin and in his misery, his ungodliness, and he sees that has the sense of his need for Jesus Christ, you can come to him. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If you get thirsty, you can come to him and drink. I've said it in here multiple times recently. I've been thirsty.
Right.
I've been thirsty. There's been times where I've gone a couple days without really having something to drink. I've done that. And for athletic purposes, sport purposes, things like that, I've gone without drinking a lot. When you get thirsty, the only thing that you can think about, the only thing that you want, is some water. You don't care if it's Gatorade. You don't care if it's Pepsi. You don't care about Mountain Dew, anything. All you want is some water. If you really get thirsty, all you want is water. And if you get thirsty like that for Jesus Christ, you'll find him.
Amen.
Yes.
You'll find him. Bible said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be
filled. Amen.
The Bible says. Amen. Well, I like it.
Amen. Yes.
I'll get to a certain point maybe here in a minute. Well, he said in verse 5 that they take the house, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. They set up idols in their heart, and a stumbling block of their iniquity they set before them. Let me tell you something. There's people that get awfully mad when you're a preacher or you're a Christian, where you take those stumbling blocks of iniquity and you take the iniquity that's in people's hearts and those idols in people's hearts, and you try your very best to kick those props out from underneath them. People get real upset about that.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. There's sometimes people need some of the props.
Amen. Kick the props out. Amen.
That's right.
There's some things they've set up in their heart. And you know what? There's people that'll sit and pamper things that lost people sit and whine about.
Right.
And you need to just let that stuff be kicked out from underneath them.
That's exactly right, buddy.
Of who they are.
Amen.
And the ungodliness that they're full of.
God, let them land on their face.
Let them see that.
Amen.
You know, it's a hard thing for most Baptist people to admit that they hate God half the time. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
That's right.
Not half the time Baptist people don't love him. I'd say probably more than that.
Yes,
half the time we're not overtaken by him.
That's right.
That's how y'all live your life, overtaken by him.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, I grieve when I'm not.
Yes, sir.
I grieve when I'm not.
Yes, sir.
I grieve when I sing the songs of God all by myself, and my heart ain't melted within me for Jesus Christ.
Right.
It grieves me.
Right.
It grieves me. And sometimes some of the foolish thoughts that I have, it grieves me. Sometimes the wickedness of my hands grieves me.
Sure.
Sometimes the foolishness that spews out of my mouth grieves me. Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's a hard thing for people to be honest. There's a lot of lost people that do need to be honest.
Right.
You need to be honest. There's a lot of you saved people that need to be honest about some things.
Yes, yes.
Be good for you. Well, they had idols set up in their heart. Go to the book of Hosea, if you will. Hosea is a book written concerning these things. He told Hosea, go marry a woman that's a prostitute, a wife of whoredoms. I want you to love them with the same love that I have toward Israel. And he married her. They had children. And after they had their children, she left him for other lovers and was unfaithful to him and was estranged from,
God help us,
from the man that loved her and brought her in and cared for her, which is a type of the house of Israel, type of God Almighty and his love towards the nation of Israel.
That's right.
With his love that he had towards them. In Hosea 5, verse 4, the Bible says, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. Now that spirit of whoredoms isn't necessarily that they've gone out and physically acted like a prostitute or been a whore in that way. But they've left their spouse, but he's talking about how they've left God for some other idol. They've left God for some other false god or graven image. Or they left God and they trusted in the might of Egypt. They left God, they trusted in the might of the Assyrians. They trusted in men rather than trust in the God that delivered them out of Egypt. They left God over those things. And he said, they will not frame their doings to turn unto God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. Mm-hmm. You know, Israel got in such a place with God. I talked about it on a couple Wednesdays ago, that when they sought God, God was not found of them. Isn't that something?
Yes, sir.
Probably something wrong with the way they sought God. Probably something wrong with the way they sought the Lord.
That's right.
And this is what he said. God told them, you go on down the line. In verse 15, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Do they see how they've broken the laws of God Almighty? They see how they've grieved me, the Lord saying. Let me tell you something. One of the great problems with churches in America, and you know what? I have a real problem with the New Age contemporary church. I can't stand their music. I don't know how men like to listen to their music. It's men. Not as girly and effeminate as can be.
Men don't.
I just, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to listen to it. I don't like it just because it's effeminate.
Right.
And just for that fact alone. But one of the great problems I have with the New Age church is that they cast the laws of God out.
Yes, sir.
And they will not let men be condemned.
That's right.
By the law of God. Let me tell you something. He said, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense.
Yes, sir.
They've grieved God. They've broken the laws of God.
That's good.
Let me tell you something. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the Old Testament, before the law was given.
Sir.
Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness before the law was ever given.
Yes, sir.
The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law of God is pure, converting the soul. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 7 that the law of God is good, it's just, and it's holy.
That's right.
These Baptist preachers, I know people that go to Baptist church, that's Old Testament. When the Apostle Paul said, I believe it was him that said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. What scripture was he talking about? Right. He was talking about the Old Testament scripture.
That's right.
Jesus Christ himself said, if they would not believe Moses, they will not believe me. Luke 16, he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. One rose from the dead, and men still don't believe. Why? Because they've never came under condemnation of the law of God. They've never saw themselves like God sees them.
Right.
Never saw themselves like God sees them. He said, till they acknowledge their offense. They're basically just wasting their time trying to seek me.
That's right.
He said, until they return to my place, till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction, they will not seek me. They in their affliction, they will seek me early. There's some folks, God lets them be afflicted that they might seek me.
That's right.
Lets them be afflicted.
Yes, sir.
Tell you, I'll be honest with you. For I was born of God, before I got saved, I was about as depressed as I could be.
That's right.
I had everything going in my life, but I was about as depressed as I could be. I remember hearing your daddy, Brother Asquith, talk about those meetings with Oliver Green, how everybody in the town just about would be depressed and people would be going to psychologists trying to figure out why they were so depressed. Because they were under conviction before the man of God even came to town.
Sir.
God let them be afflicted that they might seek the Lord. People got saved. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of folks that go to churches that live in major depression. The Bible said the fruit of the Spirit is love.
Yes, sir.
The fruit of the Spirit is joy.
Right.
The fruit of the Spirit is peace.
Right. Amen.
The effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever.
Right.
Amen. God will take care of some of that stuff for you.
Sure he will.
He'll help you.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something. The God that I have, the Jesus of this Bible, and I like the way the songwriter put it, he breaks the power of canceled sin and makes the prisoner free.
Yes.
His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me.
Yes, sir.
Thank God for that. Jesus Christ can take you out of the dung heaps of this world and the dung heaps of sin and put a new heart on the inside and make you leap for joy and act foolish for Jesus from time to time.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
My God's really good for mental health. That's right.
Hosea 4:17.
That's right.
One of the things that grieve God with Ephraim, this is what he said. Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone. You know why God hid himself from Ephraim? Because they were joined to their idols. They might have tried to seek the Lord about half-heartedly. They didn't find him. Go to the book of Micah, chapter 3. Something I saw the other day. Micah, chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 11, the heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Let me just throw this out there. God forbid any of us preachers are guilty of such a thing as that.
Right.
God forbid. You know what I said in here? I've been preaching in this church for about 13 or 14 years. I've never had a salary, I teach Sunday school, done faith. Knew it about grieve me if you ever did give me money. I ain't ever preached for money. I don't want your money. I don't need your money. If you give me money, God bless you, but I don't need your money. And I don't really want your money. Man of God isn't in this thing. Man of God isn't in this thing for his own benefit.
Right.
Paul said in Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
What was the mind that was in Christ Jesus? He made himself of no reputation.
That's
right.
He took upon himself the form of a servant.
Yes.
He became the likeness of men. He said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The Jesus of the Bible, you would think at the marriage supper of the Lamb, that we would gird ourselves and serve him. That ain't the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible will gird himself and he'll serve us. That's my King.
Amen.
That's my Lord.
Amen.
That's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He'll gird himself and serve us.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. Any man of God sets out to get into this thing for his own benefit, shame on him.
That's right.
Yes,
shame
sir.
On him.
Shame on him.
I tell you what. There's been a lot of folks I've had opportunities to preach for and to preach with. But I'm not going to bend on what the Bible says.
Amen.
So that I can have opportunities. And I'm not going to bend on what the Bible says so that people will like me. And I'm not going to bend on what the Bible says so that you like me. And I'm not going to bend on what the Bible says so that my family likes me.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Well,
glory to God.
Bible said, he that hateth not his father, his mother, his brother, his sister, and all them is not fit to be my disciple. Not fit.
That's right, boy.
You stay with the word of God before you stay with your own family. I know people say, family's the most important thing. Family's the most important thing. And they get all emotional at Christmas and act like family's the most important thing. No, this word of God's the most important
Amen.
Thing.
Amen.
The word of God's the most important thing.
Amen.
And you know what? Some people sitting in here, you're more of a brother to me than even some of my own brothers. I don't say that out of bitterness, but I say it in reality.
Yes, sir.
And you have more of a love for me than even some people in my own family.
Right.
Thank God for that.
Man.
Well, anyways, they're joined to their idols. He said, leave them alone. Let me tell you something. Hezekiah came in to be the king of Judah. He went to the high places and he cast all the things in the high places down. He destroyed the groves. He went to the house of the Lord and he set things in order and he restored the priesthood. He cleaned the house of God and he took the laws of God and he took the Psalms of David and all that stuff and he restored the temple of the Lord. You know what happened? The glory of God came in through there.
Yes, sir.
And blessed Hezekiah. and blessed his people when he got rid of all the idols that was in his
Amen.
Heart. When he got rid of all the things that kept Judah from God. God blessed it.
Amen.
Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. I preached along these lines one time out of Malachi there at Brother Don Harvey's meeting up there in Sevierville, Tennessee, I believe is where it was. My daddy preached on it not too long ago out of Malachi 1. Let me tell you something. They came to the Lord and they brought sacrifices and it grieved God. They grieved God. And this is what he said. Malachi 1:6. A son honoreth his father and a servant his master. That's what a son's supposed to do.
Yes, sir.
Today you find very little honor.
That's right.
Children towards their parents. Why a son maketh a glad father, but a fool is a heaviness to his mother.
That's right.
That's right.
Why son? People wonder why their mothers have treated them certain ways. Maybe they needed to.
That's right.
Maybe they needed to.
That's right, brother.
Responding
why
to
son maketh a glad father, but a fool is a heaviness to his mother.
That's right.
You sit and wonder why was my mom so hateful towards me? Maybe it's because I was a fool.
Amen.
That's right.
Oh, not me.
No, you're right.
Not me. I'm not a fool.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. Oh, no, not me. My mom's hateful to me because she's a fool.
No.
Come on, brother.
That right?
That's right.
That's right.
Maybe.
Amen.
You think if you did everything right that there would be a problem?
That's right.
Probably not.
That's right.
You act like the way you're supposed to act, the way they taught you.
That's right.
Maybe you wouldn't act like that.
Hey, man, my mom was good to me, son. Lord of God.
Right.
Michael Warren, Malachi 1, verse 6.
Man.
He said, a son honoreth his father, and servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you. You know what? You can be right with God in such a way, your mother's bad to you, and you still honor her.
That's right.
Amen.
We're so ungodly that we spew out cursings towards our parents.
That's right.
It's because you're ungodly.
That's right.
That's why. It's because you're ungodly.
Amen.
Amen.
I know some people that have had terrible childhoods that don't sit around and revile their parents. The Bible said, cursed is everyone that curseth his father and mother. And anyone that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. That's what Jesus said. That's what he said.
All right, boy.
It's good.
Let him die the death. It's the law of God. That's why Jesus was made a curse for us, because some of us were cursed.
Thank God.
It's good.
He said, well, a son should honor his father. That's just kind of common sense. Now, my generation, they make me so sick. I'm telling you, they really do, because they grow up and they sit and they point fingers at mom and dad. It's like, why don't you show them how to do it right?
That's right.
Well, I'm going to go out and have about three different children by three or four different women.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show mom and dad how to do it right.
Right.
Because they were fools and they didn't know how to raise me right. Go out and have three or four different husbands. Why don't you show them how to do it right, big boy?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it something?
Yes, sir.
Bring children into the world and the children don't know who their daddy is, don't have a man in their life, sit around being passed from family to family.
God.
They all have the love of a mother, the love of a real father. They don't know who's who. Bring them into the world and then they sit and run their mouth about their parents.
Right.
That's something.
Yes, sir.
Mom and dad's an idiot. Mom and dad was a fool. Mom and dad probably had a full-time job and raised you by the time they were your age.
That's right.
But they were stupid. Well, that's one of my pet peeves, my generation sitting around running along violating their parents.
That's and right, bro.
Why, if you're gonna say anything, why don't you do better than them?
Right.
Don't make any sense to me. Run around, get drunk, sleep with everybody in town. Mom and dad's the fool. Go around doing dope and living like hell. Mom and dad was the fool.
Yeah.
Why son make it the glad father?
It's good.
Good. Amen.
A son honoreth his father and a servant his master.
Good.
He said, where is my honor? The Lord said, if I be a master, you call me master. Where's my honor? And said the Lord of hosts, O priests that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? You offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord? He said, why don't you take it to the leaders in your society, which you offer to me? Can you imagine? Well, I know most of us in here don't like Joe Biden, so it probably wouldn't bother us to take what we take to the Lord, to him. But imagine if you did have a some leadership that you really respected. You had some man that you thought highly of. Would you do him the same way you do the Lord?
That's right.
No, we don't do that because we are man worshipers.
Right.
We do it to please men. Do the things, half the things we do to please men.
That's right. You're right.
Instead of pleasing God. And what did they do? They offered polluted bread upon his altar. They took the sacrifice. God said in his law, when you come to me, you don't bring the maimed, and you don't bring the one that has three eyeballs and whatever, things like that. You don't bring the one that's sickly. You don't bring the one that is maimed. You don't bring the one that has the leg cut off.
Mm-hmm.
You don't bring that before me. You bring me the firstborn. You bring me the best.
Amen.
You bring me the best. I believe that whenever you seek the Lord, you ought to bring him your best.
Amen.
I believe that there's some things that we've corrupted. We've corrupted salvation, those that are lost.
That's right.
We've corrupted the ways of salvation.
Yes, sir.
And we seek the Lord about half-heartedly. And we want to go before the Lord and we want him, yet we want ungodliness in our heart at the same time.
Right.
And God doesn't do that.
Nope.
He's a jealous God. It's going to be all or nothing. It's going to be the best or nothing. What is the very standard of God? God is holy.
That's right.
God is perfect.
Yes, sir.
God demands utter perfection. Don't you ever forget that. God demands utter perfection.
It's good.
He said, if you've kept all the law, you've offended in one point, you're guilty of all of it. Why? God demands utter perfection out of you. He demands it.
That's right.
That's why Jesus Christ came.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Because God demanded perfection and he found it in the Son of God.
Right.
And he died upon the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
God demands perfection. When Jesus died, he took our place on Calvary. It was perfect.
Amen.
It was perfect. God don't want you to come to him with idols in your heart. God don't want you coming to him with iniquity in your heart. God don't want us to worship him in corruption. You know what the Bible talks about? He said that it's an abomination for the ungodly to praise God.
My dad.
It's an abomination. It's an abomination. You know what? There's people that worship God and it's nothing, and they praise God. It's nothing but an abomination.
That's right.
I believe that the saints of God ought to worship day by day. Day by day. You ought to be overtaken by him.
Amen.
Every day of your life.
That's good.
Why I grieve, because there's some days where I'm not.
Sure.
Some days where I'm not. I'm a man. The Bible talked about the high priest was taken from among men. Jesus was taken from among men. The Bible tells us we can come boldly before the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy.
Yes, sir.
He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I understand some of the heartaches and sorrows of this life. I do. I personally do. That some of you working men face.
That's right.
Because I go out and work.
Yes, sir.
Work and labor. You know, sometimes you wake up in the morning and it's a labor. And a hard stay in tune with God because we're so ungodly.
Right.
Get our hearts and our minds on other things.
Right.
I want to be in such a way that I'm captivated by the Lord.
Amen.
When when you worship him, you ought to worship him in spirit and in truth. We've corrupted those things. Let me tell you, when we bring a sacrifice of ourselves, it ought to be without blemish. It ought to be holy.
That's right.
It ought to be clean. I tell you, not only that, but we ought to be clean and uncorrupt in our doctrine. In our doctrine. All those things. Let me tell you something. Ahaz wanted to have the things of God on one hand. Ahaz is easy for me to remember in the Bible because he's so much like Ahab. He's so much like Ahab. And you know what Ahaz, the king, wanted to do, the king of Judah? He wanted to be able to have God, and he wanted to be able to worship other gods.
That's right.
And eventually he shut the house of the Lord. Uzziah was the king. He pleased God. Uzziah did. And he grieved God, and at one point of his life, his heart was lifted up within him, and he went into the office of the priest, and he burnt incense before the Lord. And it grieved God that he did, and God smote him with leprosy. So he was not able or allowed to enter into the congregation of the Lord. He had a son that never went into the congregation of the Lord, never went to the house of the Lord, and then Ahaz arose. They shut the doors to the house of the Lord. Shut the doors. And yet, he wanted to claim God at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
He never obeyed the word of God. He shut the house of the Lord. Yet when he went out to battle, he wanted to use God as a good luck charm.
Yes, sir.
When we went to Africa, some of these girls will remember it if they paid any attention. About every car driving down the road had something about the grace de Deus, grace of God. They used that as a good luck charm. None of them followed the word of God. None of them believed the Bible. But yet, they put that little sticker on the back of their car because it's supposed to be a good luck charm.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's the way they think. I'll be okay. I won't get in any car wrecks. My business is going to do well if I have Rasa Deus on the back of my car. And that's about how people treat God. And Ahaz, he got so bitter at the things of God. And he finally said, God is no prophet to me. I'm just going to worship the gods of Damascus because it seems to help them when they worship him.
Right.
But yet he never obeyed God. He wanted to blame God for his misery. He wanted to blame God for his defeat. Never walked with God. Never believed God. Never served God. Never believed the laws of God.
That's right.
Yet he wanted to blame God for his miserable failure as king. Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all I have. I can go through a couple places real quick in the book of Psalms. Is that okay with everybody? We'll start off in 1 Chronicles 17.
Yes. Hey, remember, Zach, preach. No doubt.
I'll answer you. I'll answer for myself. How about that? I just want you to see Jesus Christ in the Word of God.
Amen.
1 Chronicles 17, verse 11. And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. I will not take my mercy away from him.
Hey.
As I took it from him, that was before thee. Let me tell you something. There's some folks that preach that as Solomon. I don't believe that Solomon per se, number one, scripturally, in the book of Hebrews.
That's right.
He said that this was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ has a kingdom and a throne that he will sit upon that will be forever. Amen. Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. You know what the kings of the earth did? When Jesus Christ was brought before them in the judgment hall, they mocked him. They put a crown of thorns upon his brow. And they mocked and said, all hail, King of the Jews. Pilate scourged him, the Bible says. and Herod and all the rest of them mocked him. They had him sent to Calvary. The Word of God says, Jesus or Christ himself testified of this reality. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine the faith thing? Why did the kings of the earth set themselves against him? The kings of the earth set themselves against Jesus Christ when he went to Calvary. He that sitteth in the heaven, verse 4, he that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Let me tell you something. Jesus is the King of kings. And he'll set as king. They mocked him and they jeered and everything else. But God will set him upon the throne of David and he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to move on. Psalm 16. He said, verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I. This is a messianic psalm. Acts 2 said that David was a prophet.
Right.
Jesus Christ said that they testified of me in the law, in the prophets, and in the psalms. Let me tell you something. I've gone through every New Testament verse, every New Testament reference to the book of Psalms. Psalms are used in the New Testament for doctrine.
It's good.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. The Psalms are used for doctrinal purposes.
Amen.
The Psalms were used to praise the Lord.
It's good.
And the Psalms were used to prophesy of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what they are. Amen. I sent a message to Brother McVeigh on Psalm 3. Tom Malone preached some years ago. He started talking about David crossing over the brook Kidron and all that stuff. And Jesus Christ crossed over the brook Kidron and
that's
the
right.
Of Gethsemane.
That's right.
And that Psalm 3 is a messianic psalm concerning Jesus Christ and the betrayal of Judas Iscariot.
That's right.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Well, Psalm 16, he said, my soul... Thou hast said, verse 2, my soul said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Mm-hmm. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Acts 2, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. I believe the Bible said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I believe the joy set before him is that he would sit at the right hand of the
you
Father.
You better believe
in the presence
it, buddy.
Of God.
Amen.
The of his glory.
And resurrection.
He'd sit there
son.
With God the Father himself.
Oh, yeah.
God said in Psalms 10, sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool.
Amen.
Revelation 20. He said, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit, a great chain in his hand, and laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and cast him into the bottomless pit.
Right.
Go down a little bit. He said, I saw the saints, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Before that, Satan was cast into the lake of fire to be tormented day and night forever and ever. He said, sit at my right hand till I make thy names thy footstool.
Amen.
Then he goes on Revelation 21. He said, the last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Right.
Death and hell cast into the lake of fire. Death no more. He said, I'll take the saints of God. I believe the Jews, they'll mourn when they look upon the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll mourn. He's going to wipe away the tears from their eyes. He'll wipe away the tears from our eyes when we see him. We're in the very presence of him. He said, and I saw a new Jerusalem come down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Let me tell you something. Isaiah 66, there's a few places that will go in the new Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. They'll go down, they'll worship the Lord, go down, and they'll look down into the bottomless pit in Idumea. They'll look down into the bottomless pit there in Idumea. They'll see the corpses, the bodies of those that are cast into the lake of fire to be tormented forever. And Jesus Christ will have an everlasting kingdom.
Amen.
I have an everlasting kingdom. The kings of the earth set themselves against him. They'll be under his feet.
Right.
They'll be under his feet.
Right.
Everything will be in subjection to him. Mm-hmm. I just kind of like some of the wording in the Bible. I like what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that the lion's appetite will be changed and he'll eat straw like the ox.
Man.
People, they get awfully upset and mad about little children playing and being happy. But I think Jesus likes it so much. He said that the little children will be playing in the streets.
That's right.
The streets will be filled Glory with children God. Playing and laughing.
Amen.
That's the kind of place that I want the world to be. Amen. That's the kind of place it will be when Jesus Christ sets up his throne in Jerusalem and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. Then the new Jerusalem will come. Amen. We'll be with the Lord forever.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm done.
Amen. 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 Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the good word of God. Thank you, Lord, for what we've heard today. Pray, God, that you'd bless it, dear Lord Jesus, in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.